meeting to order. Our first item on the agenda is general public comment. Do we have anybody from the public that would like to make any comment? Hearing none, we will move to the approval of the July meeting minutes.
Move for approval?
Second.
A motion for approval and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? Motion approved. All right, so you know that I'm moving along fast. We have some presentations to make, so we'll turn the floor over to them. Dusty, if you want to go ahead and do the staff report, please.
Yes, sir. Our social media accounts, we posted that our April meeting minutes were posted. We posted for our September meeting and grant presentations, the agenda. We live streamed our July 20th meeting. We posted the approved audit for the website that we sent to the state is now available. We posted that our grant cycle was open and closed. And then we shared the media that we received from the Daily Sentinel and the Business Times on our grant cycle that we had available. The media that we did have, again, was from the Daily Sentinel. They posted a little that we had grants that were open. And then the Business Times did a story that said applications were being sought. We don't have any grants requesting payment at this time. And the invoices were just three for July and August. The one for July, which was already paid, was Dusty Reimer invoice 174 for services and supplies for July for $2,691.47. And the two on the August agenda are for Dusty Reimer invoice 175 for services and supplies for August for $2,838.91. That includes the cost for binders for the grants and printing and putting those together. And Dufford Waldeck invoice 33626 for services in August for $60. We received a phone call from East Orchard Mesa on their SBCA grant that they'd gotten. They got new bottles and they needed to get rid of them and wanted to know what the procedure was, if they needed to keep them to withhold the grants or if they needed to do something else for them. And so when I talked to Chris, he said, no, they don't need to hang on to them, which I assumed, but we just needed to clarify. So that's what our email conversation, phone call conversation was about. Our fall 2020 grant cycle, we do have $350,000 available. We had three traditional grant applications and four mini grant applications that you guys should have in the binder. The total requested amount from all seven applications totaled $676,131. So it's gonna be fun. Good applications. And then we did receive our DOLA disbursement, which was $725,629.82, which was $300,000 more than last year, which is good. So Quint was right on with his estimations. So we will start the budgeting process for the next meeting. We will have a proposed budget for you guys to look at with any potential tweaks. The only thing that we really always have a discussion about is the permanent fund and how much money you guys would like to put in. Just a reminder that you're allowed to put up to 50% of the disbursement into the permanent fund for the year. So if anybody has any suggestions before we work on that, we will take them. And then the only other thing that we have is just our upcoming events. Our next meeting will be the board meeting with our grant awards on the 19th. So I will send out a calendar invite to collect your grant scores. They usually won't be due until probably 2 weeks before the board meeting. And then in November will be our final meeting for the year with board contracts and the approval of the budget at that time. The state requires that we have our board approve the budget by December 31st, which usually isn't a problem for us to do by November. That gives us December off. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Dusty. Mm-hmm. We hear a motion to approve the staff report as presented.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Thank you, Dusty. Mm-hmm. Christine, thanks for joining us. We'll
it's been a while.
It has been a while. of our financials.
So on our balance sheet, as of August 31st, we have $914,746.37 on the fund balance. For the permanent fund, we have $2,045,738.23. For our grants payable, we have $350,000. Retained earnings of $2,934,461.92. And net loss of $323,977.32. Property loss in August. We have expenses, contract services of $2,666, dues or memberships of $25.47, unrealized loss in perm fund of $60,861.05, interest income of 71 cents, and dividend income of $2,425.29, for a net loss of $61,126.52. Under our accounts payable aging summary, we have $15,000 to the city of Fruita and $300,000 to the town of Colburn. And our budget to actual report, for our outside services, that includes legal fees, accounting fees, and contract services, we're still under the budget of $16,779.78. We are under the budget for auditing expenses of $300, and then under our budget for insurance expenses of $161. That is all.
Thank you, Christine. Question?
No, sir.
Anything you want to add? Okay. All right. Thank you. We will move on to review of our investment accounts. Matt, you want to tell us all the exciting stuff going on?
Today was actually, the Fed announcement was just a few minutes ago, and they hiked 75 basis points. I think the market was expecting that. What's that?
They did do 75?
75, yeah, for a target of 3 to 3.25. And so the market was expecting that. I think the negative language that surrounded their announcement is probably what sent the market off at the end of the day today. And they're basically saying we're going to try to hike up to another 100-125 between now and the end of the year. And I think, you know, Powell said that at Jackson Hole like a month ago, and I just don't think people take him serious, and the market's kind of rebounding, and I think he's really got to make a statement, like, we need slowdown. And so, you know, they're basically giving very firm language, saying we're going to do whatever it takes to combat inflation. The interesting part of the guidance they gave, though, was that 2023, I think they see their target rate getting to 4.6, which is actually pre-financial crisis levels. So you're getting back to, I guess, what people would say is a normal interest rate level with 3 to 4% GDP growth, something that we struggled to get through the teens, the 2010s. And then you see 2024, or so, let's see, 2025 and beyond, they were projecting a 2.5% target Fed funds rate, so actually then coming back down. And it's basically like, hey, we all just ate this massive meal, and you're sitting there, and you gotta sit in time out till you digest all that. And that's what I think the Fed is saying. And so it's just making sure, I think the expectations, this is the interesting thing, and I won't say too much, because I can go on and on, but inflation is a lot of expectations. And when the economists gather their inflation data to make these decisions, they actually call people, business owners and just consumers, and ask them, what are you doing right now? And they're looking for two answers. One is, I'm not buying because things are too expensive and I'm gonna wait until they go down, which is pretty much, I'm firmly in that camp, right? This is ridiculous. But then you also have the other answer that they're looking for, which is, I need to buy now because prices are going to go up, and I want to get it before they go up more. And then that's that inflation death spiral they look out for. So I think the cure for high prices is high prices, right? I mean, and right now things are just all over the board. People are trying to figure out what's happening with inflation. So it's just a transitional period where you're going to see a lot of volatility, and until there's some settling, and that's what the Fed is trying to do, is basically settle and say, yes, we're going to slow things down. At the end of the day, though, 5 years from now, these high prices that we've seen are going to translate into high earnings, and I see stocks up quite a bit. So I guess the moral of the story is, if you're a long-term investor, this is a great opportunity. I think the Federal Mineral Lease District should smile on today. You don't look like you're smiling about it. But if you think about it as an endowment, or somebody who's a permanent fund, you have an influx of cash that just came in, and you have low equity multiples now, lower equity valuations, and that's great news. Savers should be loving this right now. They get to put their money into their 401ks at much lower prices than they did at the beginning of this year. You also have higher interest rates, which is getting, I guess, a return to more normal interest rates, which is going to be great for a permanent fund that eventually wants to spit off cash without touching principal, right? I mean, how would you like to have $10 million, and what can we touch on that we don't touch our principal? Well, $150,000 a year, that's it. So if you get to back into the 4%, 5%, 6% return on bonds, that's wonderful. I mean, you get to that kind of $10 million goal or wherever we're headed with this permanent fund, but now you have some significant capital that you can put out the door. So I think it's good. It's just, it's like any lesson. It's all lessons are hard to learn, and this is what we're going to go through. But one of the questions I get is, why not pull everything out and just wait? But the markets are predicting the future. They're not, or they're buying the future. They're not buying the news, right? So if we pull out of equities and wait until the market settles, and there's some good announcement by the Fed saying, okay, we're going to lower rates, inflation's under control, something like that, by then the market's digested. The market's priced that in already. So I think as difficult as it is during volatile times, you stay invested. I think you're going to have updates, you're going to have updates, and everybody will get their handle on all this stuff. They actually see it at a micro level, too, because, I mean, can I have a little more time? I don't want to talk forever. I'll indulge me with a story here, but I need to get my driveway power washed and sealed for the winter was my goal. And so I got two quotes on it, and my driveway's not that big. I mean, you could park two cars in it. Right, and have a little room between the garage and the sidewalk. And the quotes I got were, one was $1,500, and the other was $4,600. Wow. Right? So I guess it's one thing, I think they're both too much for me. And I'm in that camp of I'll wait, or actually what I did is I went and bought a $300 pressure washer, and I'll just do it myself. Yeah. Right? And that's just the kind of, a story of how people are out of sorts right now. With what should things cost? How much can we price into this? You know, throw it out there and see if people will pay it. Eventually, everybody's going to stop saying, I'm not paying that. No. They're going to stop just automatically hitting the 30% tip button that the girl spins around like at the coffee shop, you know, to add an extra dollar to your coffee. So that'll take time, but slowly but surely we'll get through. I mean, the economy's like, it's like the Titanic, you know? I mean, you see the iceberg coming. When the Titanic saw the iceberg, it was almost a half a mile away. Like, how they hit it still, like half a mile. But it just takes time to turn those things. So it'll happen, and I don't feel bad about it. I see the opportunity in the meantime. Our portfolio is 58% equity, which is the bottom of the kind of our target for equity with the moderate risk. We can go up to size 65. So watching things get a little worse, I think at some point we say let's buy back up towards the top of our end. Still short on duration, so we're doing all the things we can to really mitigate the downside. Yep. Questions?
Other than his reference to the Titanic?
I know.
The follow-up question is, where's the Titanic?
Go what I was thinking, like, why
are we the ship?
That's right.
Don't put that on.
Well, you gotta turn, you know, it just takes a long time to turn these things. And, but the markets, investing is a long-term game. I mean, anybody needs cash this year should not be in the markets. I tell our clients that, but it's a long-term game. And if you really think about it that way, I would be glad to put any money I got today into the stock market, knowing that I wouldn't need it for at least 5 to 7 years, and I feel really good about it. It'd be worth a lot more at that point. So,
long term investment.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Do we put the?
No.
But incidentally, the fund's still up several hundred thousand dollars from having done this stuff. So there's obviously the benefits.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt.
That's a good, sorry, you just mentioned that scatter plot. I love that chart, by the way. Yeah, you're the green dot there. Have you gone through this one before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys are the green square, and that's a risk-adjusted return metric. So you can see you're right on the efficient frontier. So for the amount of risk you're taking, you're getting the maximum return. Shows we're doing our job. If you ever see that green square, say that we're like down lower than the circle, the blue circle, that means you have poor management, because you're basically getting less return for a higher amount of risk in the portfolio than the different asset classes. So on the bottom, you can't see the bottom axis label, but it's risk, and the top, the other one, is return on the vertical axis.
Thanks, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Do we have any unscheduled business? Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Second.
So a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. should we take a quick break, Dusty, and let everybody get organized?
Yep.
Do we have a special order?
Yep.
Everybody's in?
So the agenda, it was like a two-part agenda, so they have them in here. So they're in order of your binders, and if you guys want to turn your chairs around.
Okay.
I put you guys on here. It feels like old times in here.
Actually, people.
Yeah. Monday, we had like 14 grant applications. We had a lot of money handed out. It was packed in here. Remember that, Chris? Big deal. It's good.
I feel
old.
Same.
The good old days.
The old days. When we walked uphill in the snow both ways.
I mean, I worked part time, but I have.
the jump drive presentation?
I would not.
Very lovely jump drive. It's got, it's rubberized right here, so it's easy to slide in, so.
I know that they were trying to figure out who was gonna present. I saw Brian this weekend and he said they were all calling not it. That was funny. I was thinking, turned in a presentation. It'll be fine. Okay. Oh, we're still early though. Please help yourself to snacks and water over there. It's less that I have to bring back my car. That's like a Ghostbuster signal.
That's the only thing that overrides the silence.
Active 911?
Yep, active 911.
You guys okay? Is everything okay?
See, just getting paged out.
Good thing you didn't tell your parents, you know. Right. Dusty took care of him, didn't she?
I did.
He signed me in.
Yeah, I usually do. If you guys don't get it, I'll do it.
I'm pretty lax about that.
I never knew we even were supposed to sign until today, so I've been very lax.
Dusty's been sorry.
She was taking care of us.
Yeah, if you want to.
I haven't even seen their presentation.
It's loaded up here. I don't have it printed, but it's, if you. It's fine. I was saying, I could do it too. Would you like the jump drive?
I appreciate it though.
All right, just trying to get rid of it. Just trying to say, if anybody wants it. Was it Jen? Was Jen gonna come do it? Okay. I talked to her dad this weekend. He said that they weren't sure who was gonna come and present it. They wanted that week he was gonna be here. We don't, it's really not that scary.
We're nice.
We're very nice.
2:30, few more minutes?
Few more minutes, yeah.